You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
We'll continue on Nick Talk, but we're going to take a timeout and head down to Baltimore. That's where the Yankees and Baltimore Orioles are battling. Early part of the season, first time they've met each other. This Baltimore Orioles team has been pretty good. The Yankees have gotten off to a good start. Pat Ragazzo, who does a fabulous job covering the Mets and Yankees for SI.com, joins us live from Baltimore. Pat, thanks for a couple of minutes. How are you?
I'm great, Larry and Gordon. How are you guys? Thanks so much for having me. And by the way, I love the J. Cole intro to No Role Models. That's a great song.
It is. Well, you know, our crew knows what to do there, Pat. You've been on. You know, our crew, musically, they're phenomenal. They are phenomenal. Give me your thoughts on what you expect from this series, and do the Yankees have something to prove here?
I mean, I think this is definitely a measuring stick type of series right now. I mean, it seems like the Yankees and Orioles are going to be battling it out for first place in the AL East this year, both loaded with talent. Orioles have a very strong starting rotation. We saw that through potential ace Grayson Rodriguez tonight, who shut down the Bronx Bombers, who were coming off a series in Milwaukee where they scored 30 runs in the past 2 days. And the Orioles have talented pitching. They have a very strong offense, a lot of young talent. And the Yankees obviously are talented too, but tonight the Orioles won the first battle of the season.
Pat, I learned so much from you, including that sound we heard coming in is actually J. Cole. I had no idea, Larry. I'm learning things all the time. Fifth time the Yankees have been shut out this season. What do they make of the fact that they've already had five shutouts against them so far?
I don't think it's anything really to read into. I mean, the Yankees have an offense that's comparable to Murderer's Row when Aaron Judge and Juan Soto are playing at MVP. Type levels. And I asked Judge after the game in the clubhouse if he's swinging the bat the way he wants to right now, and his short answer was just no, he's not. And part of that's probably because he dealt with the injury in spring training and maybe he's shaking off a little bit of the rust, but he had a good weekend in Milwaukee. And yeah, I think that it's a little bizarre that the Yankees have been shut out five times, but they've also scored a ton of runs and they have 19 wins and are right in the thick of things in the division right now early on in the season. So yeah, I think that is just something that that probably won't be sustainable throughout, you know, as the season progresses. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Pat, I got to be honest with you. I've been a little surprised at this Yankee starting pitching. I mean, a lot of questions about Nestor Cortez. What were you going to get? Carlos Rodon. What were you going to get? And Clark Smith. And Clark Smith has pitched well. He pitched in tough luck tonight. I mean, the first inning, one bad pitch, but he's starting to give them some length. Talk a little bit about this Yankee starting pitching.
Yeah, this game really was a confidence booster for Clark Schmidt. He's been very solid all year long. He was pretty solid last year as well. And to go 5 2/3 and only give up one run on one bad pitch, like you said, to a very, very, very impressive Orioles lineup is something that the Yankees are feeling optimistic about. Obviously, they don't have their ace, Garrett Cole. He's supposed to come back in June. He's getting close to maybe throwing off the mound soon. So that's a positive sign. And yeah, Schmidt has been very, very good so far this year, as has Carlos Rodon in a bounce-back season. And Marcus Stroman's been his consistent all-star self this season as well, with the exception of Sunday's outing. But he only gave up four runs to a very good Brewers team. So, yeah, starting pitching has been a strong suit for the Yankees so far this year.
Pat, what did the Yankees say about the changes that Rodon – what's been different about Rodon this year as opposed to last year outside of the injuries?
I think that's really just it for Rodon. I mean, I think it's just been health with him. His velocity was down a tick in spring training, and now it's come back up. So he's throwing hard. He's locating all his pitches. He's got command of his secondary pitches, and health is really the biggest thing with him.
Pat Ragazzo is our guest. He's live in Baltimore with the Yankee-Orioles series. It's ESPN New York tonight, Hardesty and Damer until midnight here on 98.7 ESPN. This Baltimore Orioles team, Pat, there's no question, is very talented. It's a young, talented team. The bullpen has been an issue, though. The bullpen, you know, got the job done tonight. It was a shaky ninth inning. A lot of hard-hit balls. The Yankees hitting a little tough luck. Do you see them making an addition to their bullpen somewhere down the road to be a bit more, you know, stable there?
Well, I think the Orioles bullpen will get a major addition, potentially, if Felix Bautista can come back later in the year from Tommy John surgery. Now, that's a big question because he did undergo surgery late in the season last year, so there's no given that he's going to come back this year. But if he does, it's a major upgrade for the Orioles bullpen. And I think regardless, they're probably going to have to acquire some relievers at the deadline, as are the Yankees and as are the Mets.
Gleyber Torres has really gotten off to a rough start. Three hits tonight. Did you get a chance to talk to him, or what are the Yankees saying about Gleyber's struggles?
I think with Gleyber, it's just he's in a contract year. You know, that can maybe weigh on a player, and especially a guy like Gleyber Torres. He's a young guy. It's a long season, and I think that he'll probably turn out to be the player that he's been throughout his career. Last year, he was probably the top offensive second baseman in the league. So, yeah, I think that he'll be just fine. And obviously, the three hits against the Orioles tonight was pretty promising.
What's the latest, Pat, on DJ coming back? And, I mean, listen, the way Cabrera's hit, I don't know that they're kind of in a rush to see him come back right now.
Yeah, I mean, DJ LeMay, who has the foot in, issue and hasn't really healed the way that they were hoping that it would. They thought he'd be back sooner. And, yeah, like you said, there's really no rush right now. I mean, Oswaldo Cabrera has stepped up and taken that job at third base. He's really swung a hot bat this year. And he can handle the hot corner defensively as well. So Anthony Volpe's moved into the leadoff spot for the Yankees. And there's really not many holes right now on this roster. So, yeah, there's no reason to rush DJ back. But obviously, if he does come back and swings the bat the way that he did in the second half last year, then that'll be a boost to an already scary Yankees lineup.
Pat, this is about a week ago now that Aaron Boone got thrown out for something that the fan was saying behind him. I've always wondered, and I don't know if anybody, if Boone has brought it up since that point, do they ever have like a meeting of minds afterwards, and does the umpire admit that he's wrong? What happens after that? Because it's clear that Boone didn't say anything after you see the replays, and I understand maybe the umpire didn't understand that at the time, but these guys see each other all the time. Is there any reference to, hey, I got that wrong, or has Boone mentioned that at all about what happened after that?
Well, not necessarily from Boone's perspective or the umpires, but the league looked into it and they said that it was a wrongful ejection. And Boone is a guy who's known to go through or suffer some ejections here and there throughout his managing career. But this one was not on him. A fan said it, of course, and he took the brunt of it and took the blame. I think the league admitted that was a mistake.
Pat, how do you see the rest of this series going now? The Yankees really, let's put it this way. Which Yankee offense you think will see the rest of this series? Is it closer to the one against Milwaukee? Or unfortunately, if you're like Gordon Damer, you're praying it's not closer to the one you saw tonight.
Well, that's the real question. I mean, the Yankees offense has been a bit hot and cold. They are off to a good start, 19 wins, only 11 losses. Obviously the five shutouts, but I think that we'll probably see an even split in this series. I mean, they just split with the Oakland A's at home, and the Orioles are really tough, and the Yankees and Orioles are going to be neck and neck all year. They're a pretty even team. They match up pretty well with each other. So, yeah, I think we'll probably see a split and maybe see a couple big offensive games by the Yankees, but then more so like the pitching duel like we saw tonight.
Last thing for me, Pat. I know he was 0-for-4 tonight, but what's been the difference in Anthony Rizzo? I mean, 300th career home run over the weekend. He seems to, after the slow start, he seems to be catching fire. Is this closer to the Rizzo that we expect? Because it's funny, I also think that the slow start kind of affected him on defense, because he's made some errors that you normally don't see Anthony Rizzo make as a former Gold Glover.
Yeah, so Anthony Rizzo is starting to look like the player that the Yankees acquired at the 2021 trade deadline and the player that he was throughout his career with the Cubs. Gold Glove at first base and a solid, more than solid, all-star caliber middle-of-the-order bat. And that's the way he's swinging right now. He got his 300th home run the other day in Milwaukee. I think just like Rodon, it's the key really for Rizzo is health. And he dealt with the concussion issues last year. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a concussion, but try hitting a baseball and have that reactionary time while trying to hit a baseball 100 miles per hour hurling towards you. I mean, with a concussion, it's almost impossible. So give credit to him for trying to tough it out last year, but now he's back, he's healthy, and he looks like the player that the Yankees need in the middle of that lineup.
Pat, thanks for a couple of minutes. We'll check in with you before the series ends.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks,
you
Pat.
You got it. Pat Ragazzo. Gordon, I can't imagine. And what's even crazier about that? How could you not notice that he had a concussion? Like all the tests that
you
do. Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
Like how could you not know? That's crazy.
It's the most obvious. Now, I'm not saying it's obvious that they should have known it, because he didn't think that it was still that. But it's the first thing that explains, right? Like this guy was a solid all-star level kind of player and had a pretty well-established track record, and then could not hit, put a bat on the bat on the baseball at all. So it's good to see him back. It's good to see him healthy. It took him a long time. It was a big loss last year, but he had to get himself right, and it took a long time. But hopefully that is now behind him, and he can get back to what we've seen here more recently.
Yeah, he's looked better.
And I always wonder that, though. Like, the umpire clearly screwed it up, or even with balls and strikes. Like, and baseball umpires, they throw people out at the drop of a hat, right? Yeah. Like, all the time, guys just get thrown out of the game. And more times than not, it's the umpire that's wrong. And that one was clear cut that Boone said the camera was on him. You see his reaction is genuine. And the umpire didn't even care at the time. I can't remember. Was it Hunter Wentelstedt?
I think so, yeah. Yep.
But it's. I just wonder what happens the next day. Like, did you get to see the video? Did you see? You kind of owe me an apology. I'm assuming there's no apology coming if the person says, I don't care. But it's just a very odd dynamic.
If it was the NBA or the NFL, we would have had a 2-minute report.
Right. Well, I'm sure there are some umpires who handle it. Hey, look, I blew that one.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, but some of the older umpires, it feels like they're right.
It's my
game. The greatest case of rabbit ears ever. The guy, the umpire, he's not even listening to the manager. He's listening to people in the stands and throwing people out.
Which tells you how wrong he was about the whole thing.
Oh, of course.
Because he was so selfish, so self-conscious, he knew.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you how wrong he was about the whole thing. When we return, we got more of your phone calls. Plus, Gordon, we're waxing poetic about the Knick win, and absolutely is great. They're up 3-1. There's a player I'm concerned about on this Knick team, and I'm hoping and praying that he returns to his, more productive self in Game 5 tomorrow night. You kind of know who I'm talking about. We'll talk about that next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
And Gordon Damer, over the past couple of games, Dante DiVincenzo has not been Dante DiVincenzo.
No.
He's airballed some threes.
Mm-hmm.
He's been solid defensively. I give him credit. He's not let that take away from his game. But he has not been the offensive player that we've seen. And Gordon, in my annual nightly conversation about where the other points coming from after Jalen Brunson, he's an important part. He really needs to get going. He needs to get going.
Yeah, I mean, look, Josh Hart had a great game, even though he did not chip in really offensively that much. He only had 4 points, so that – when Josh Hart is scoring 15, 16 like he did in other games, you can kind of maybe hide DiVincenzo's struggles a little bit. But, no, he's got to be one of the first and foremost guys outside of Jalen Brunson. That's where you're looking for the offense to come from. So his struggles here the last couple of games, you've been able to split them. But, yeah, no, they got to get him going again.
Absolutely. It would make life a little bit more easier on Jalen Brunson. Would a little bit more easier. Back to the phones we go. Jeff is in Spring Valley. Jeff, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Gordon, what's going on, guys? Love the show. My third or fourth time on it. I really appreciate you guys.
I thought you were going to say it was your third or fourth favorite show. I was going to say, wait a second, we're only three or four? I'm sorry, Jeff.
No. You guys are the greatest. You guys are the greatest. Love you guys.
Yes.
All right, so real quick. I'm that called a couple of times this summer. And I'm a Jets fan, and I'm kind of going to do the same fan. And I wanted to kind of do a little preview of what might be coming, a Pacers-Nets series, game series, which back in the 90s was a heated rivalry, and that's kind of when I grew up. And I just kind of want to, inject a little bit of reality that I know the Heat and Knicks series has been what everybody's been clamoring for, but the Pacers series I think is going to be exciting. You have the Obi Thompson angle.
Obi Toppin.
The trade from last
Toppin,
year.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yep, Obi Toppin, my bad.
Uh-huh.
You also got the Haliburton angle. Knicks could have drafted him. I know a lot of people wanted the Knicks to draft him. That didn't happen, but now they're going to be facing him. And then, you got that rivalry. So I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on, if that series is to come, what your thoughts are on that and how you think the Knicks are going to fare.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the phone call and the kind words. I would say, Gordon, that it's going to be a battle of pace in that series. You know what Indiana wants to do.
Yeah, no question.
They want to fly up and down the court. That's what they want to do. They want to just fly up and down the court. And if you're the Knicks, you want to control tempo. Now, they're a big team. You know, they're a big team. And Gordon, I will give them credit. They are better defensively. They're not great defensively. They've gotten better defensively. But, you know, I would right now, if you were to press me, I would still say I would give the Knicks a really good opportunity to win that series.
Yeah, I don't like thinking about the next series until the first series is finished. So,
I don't either.
Because take a look, right? When the Knicks got the two seed, the thought mm-hmm. was, well, they'll take on a Bucks team that might be a little banged up. And, of course, the whole Doc Rivers thing. And you're anticipating, oh, well, that's going to be – and now, as things stand right now, with the Pacers up 3-1, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So let's handle things as they come. Let's get rid mm-hmm. of the Sixers first. Mm-hmm. Let's take care of that part of it. And then we'll have plenty of time to look ahead to whoever's next.
Yep. Steve's in Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how are you guys? I appreciate you taking my call. Real quick, listen, I've been listening to ESPN Radio on and off all day. And listen, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, 39 years. I know there hasn't been a lot of success in the past two decades. But we are not done with this series. The previous caller called to talk about the Pacers. We still have to play Philly tomorrow night.
Yep.
We got to win four games, guys, not three. And I just think we're a little too excited. I understand the chances of them winning three straight are highly unlikely. But let me tell you something. Joel Embiid is highly capable of going out there, dropping 50 points on us tomorrow night, forcing a game six, and doing the same thing at home with a day off in between each game. So, I mean, there's two things our parents taught me growing up. Don't count your chickens before they hatch, and don't count your money before it's in your hand. So let's stay humble. Let's stay hungry. Let's take it one game at a time, one series at a time. This team is not over. They're not done. Let's bury them tomorrow night, and then let's worry about what happens after that. And I'm sure Thibodeau, he seems to coach us. That's, you know, preaching the same thing to the team. Don't get too low. Don't get too high. We still have a job to do, guys. The job is not done. And I'll say this. Kobe Bryant, one of my favorite players. You see this meme where it's a commercial where he went up 3-0. I don't know the team that he went up on, but he went up 3-0. And the reporter asked him, you don't seem happy. And he says, well, I'm happy. Job's not done. And that's what I'm saying. Job's not done. Let's stay hungry, guys. It is not over until it's over. And it's not over. I thank you guys for taking my call. Appreciate it.
All right, Steve. You're right.
I think what Steve is saying is it's not over, Larry.
Yeah, it's not
Didn't
over.
Did we just say it's not over? We just
yeah,
say,
we did.
Just saying
we did.
Kind of
He's right. He is yes. echoing your thoughts.
Yes.
It is not over. But once again, Steve, players don't think the way fans do. Okay? There's nobody in that Knick locker room that thinks that this is over.
Yeah.
Nobody.
No. I'm pretty sure that no. Tibbs has Mm-mm. handled that.
No. Nobody thinks it's over. They expect what probably could be Philadelphia's best effort tomorrow night, because nobody wants to go. You want to try to get
right, absolutely.
You want
close
to try
that
to get
out,
back
right?
Home. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got nothing to lose,
especially with the way Tibbs
anyway.
Plays these guys, right? Like
yeah.
especially the minutes they get.
Absolutely. Plus once again, Gordon. I don't know. Mitchell Robinson is probably not going to be available. Bogdanovich may not be available. I mean, that bench is going to be even shorter than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you talk about fatigue factor, foul trouble again. You know, anything can happen. So there's no question about it. But, you know, once again, you know, fans, sometimes you're excited. I get it. I understand the excitement, the tempting to look ahead, see what's going on. But, you know, let's move past the Sixers first. Let's see what
first
what,
things first.
See how we can take care of them and move out the way.
But I will say this about Steve's call. It does feel yes. like people are already kind of moving on.
Yeah. Absolutely. They do. Beating them, because it's funny, because there was some hesitation after game three, right?
Three, yeah, absolutely.
A little hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
So now that okay, well, we're back. Okay, we won that
right.
game.
3-1,
we're good.
We don't lose series up 3-1. They don't win down 3-1.
Right. And plus, we're coming home. We're exactly. coming to the Garden. We're not losing to the Garden. It's the Garden. We're not, come on, world's most famous. We're not losing in that building. People have lost in, Knick teams have lost in that building before.
Yep.
You know? In painful memories
mm-hmm.
have lost in that building before. But, you know, that's why you just have to wait and play it out. See what happens. We'll continue the conversation with your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
We'll be right back. York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
It's ESPN New York tonight here on 98.7 ESPN. Game 5, Gordon Damer, tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. You can hear the game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Dan Grosser with the post game at 6:30 following the Michael Kay Show. Tip off just after 7 o'clock. I guess it will be Pat O'Keefe and Monica McNutt. They've been doing the job so far.
Doing a great job.
Let's keep it going. Absolutely. Keep them going. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, you can't change now, anything. Right? You got the good mojo going.
No, we don't want to change anything. They've got the feeling for this group. So it's going to be an interesting game tomorrow night. And, of course, we will follow the game. So either we'll be talking about the celebration of moving on, Gordon Damer, or we'll be talking about...
Let's hope so. We don't want the agony of defeat, Larry.
No, we don't want that. We do not. Back to the phones we go. Rob is in Merrick. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Larry, I was going to hold off. I don't want to be superstitious and jinx it, but when Gordon's on, he got me again with that TikTok thing. You got me again, Gordon. And, Larry, when you start talking Knicks, you just draw me into the phone, and I'm glad... Say hi to my son, Danny. He just hopped in the car with me.
Danny, what's going on, pal?
What's up, Danny?
So after all of the stories I've told him about Bernard and Patrick and Starks and Oakley and Sprewell and Houston and Camby and those boys, now they're experiencing it. And standing in front of the TV, going bananas with them is absolutely priceless. OG, I loved how he fronted Embiid, and that really, really frustrated him. I think we're onto something there. And I don't know if you guys noticed, when he decides to, like, take his man off the dribble and drive, he is so long and athletic. He gets to the rim so easily. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to see his game expand and see a little bit more aggression offensively from him, because he could do it. And last thing I wanted to mention, shout out to my fellow Knicks fans. I didn't make the drive, but those guys, they filled that arena. You could have got my son went on the app. You could have got two tickets in the lower bowl, kind of around midcourt, for $420. What? I just went on StubHub, two tickets, section 115, row 23, $1,750 for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I kid you not. So yeah, no, I'm so glad that arena was rocking with Knicks fans, man. It was great.
Rob, thanks for the phone call and the kind words. Danny, hang in there with your dad. That's a nice way to get home. Gordon, it's funny. We have, because, and we talked about this a lot. I know I have. Because of the lack of success that this franchise has had over the past two decades, the 90s, you would think we won like a bunch of championships. You would think the 90s was a decade that the Knicks had won, you know, like the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Like you won four championships in 5 years or something like that. It wasn't. It was just because they had sustainable success, Gordon. It was because they had a team and you knew you were making the playoffs. I mean, Gordon, you would sit back, like the conversations that we were having earlier, like, do we want to finish here? Do we want to maybe finish, drop down and finish third so we don't have to face this one? Those were the conversations those Knicks teams had back in the 90s. We don't want to face Chicago until you get to the conference final. Because you have trouble with Michael Jordan, trying to get past him. And so those were the type of conversations. And for today's Knicks fan to be able to have that kind of pride in their team, to see that kind of success and production in the team, to not look at other franchises and say, why can't my franchise be like them? Why can't we draft players like they draft? Why can't we get players like they have? Why can't we make the trades that other teams make? Now, young Knicks fans, middle-aged Knicks fans, this is your team. And now you can see what us old heads had, Gordon, in the 90s, when the Knicks were that decade, starting with the X-Men in 92, rolling up till the end in 99, when they, you know, when LJ hits the fabulous four-point play, and you got a, you know, an NBA, you're in the NBA Finals against the San Antonio Spurs. That was the decade of the 90s.
Yeah, they were contenders. Even though they never got to the over the hump, they never got to the championship. They got to the finals, but they never got the championship that you thought. You know, when they won the lottery and you knew Ewing was coming, it wasn't just you thought, oh, the Knicks might win a championship. It was, the NBA is now going to run through New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it never got to that level, but they were a constant threat, and he kept feeling, especially Knicks fans, that this is going to be our year, this is going to be our year, and there are deep playoff runs every year, only to end in disappointment. So this is the fun time, right? Like, this is when the expectations are still kind of forming and you're still kind of on the upswing after two decades as being a punching bag, not just being bad.
Mm-mm.
The Knicks were the punchline. They were the ones that everybody made fun of, dysfunction, everything, firing coaches, firing GMs, can't get it right, bad trades, bad signings. And to see where this organization has come in a very short period of time, basically 4 years, they have turned everything around, and you feel like finally it is back up on the upswing. So it's great to see. And Knicks fans, they were there during even the bad times.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're the one organization. And I get it. They're not going to sell out the Garden like they are now. But they are. Oh, Knicks fans are diehard. They are the definition of diehard.
Yeah. They've stuck with this team and franchise. They really have.
The fact that they're still Knicks fans, it tells you all you need to know.
Absolutely. And you know, one whole lot of bags on their heads in the Garden, and the Garden was still full.
Yeah.
You know, I know some of it, tourist attraction,
sold
your tickets and stuff like that, but, you know, people were still out there rooting.
I know, but when you're as bad as the Knicks were, it don't matter. Like, when the Yankees were that bad, there wasn't any tourists going to Yankee games.
You're right.
When the Mets are that bad, or the Jets or the Giants are that bad, none of those tourists are going there.
Nope.
I get maybe the arena is more of the fact. I get that, but the building was still able to be sold. So, Knicks fans, they deserve what's coming to them.
What do you say, Gordon? Knicks fans, stand up?
Exactly, right? I mean, it's been a long time coming for
Enjoy
them.
Enjoy it while it happens, because you never know, Gordon. You never know what's going to happen. Enjoy it while it happens. Enjoy this run the way it is, because it could end at any time. You just don't know. Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
Hey, good evening, Larry, GD. Shout out to the company. And boy, was that, you know, a crazy trip down memory lane, because remember, Larry, when we wanted them to rebuild, and, you know, guys like, you know, Isaiah Thomas and all these other GMs were just like, you know, New York can't go through a rebuild. And, you know, and we reluctantly went in through a longer rebuild process because we tried all these get-rich-quick schemes. And even when Donnie Walsh came and, you know, kind of rectified the situation, you know, we kind of told him to go away because he was going to mess up the Carmelo trade. And, you know, we went down that path as well. So it is happy that I do agree with that sentiment, where now it feels like, you know, this Knicks team is kind of building something that is more of a consistent, you know, contender. And I'm happy. I'm happy as a Knicks fan. It is kind of hard to get ahead of ourselves because, like the previous caller mentioned, you know, you see the other series unfolding the way they did, and you're kind of seeing, you know, the Indiana Pacers series. And I would, you know me, Larry, I would love nothing more for that one, because that would be the final, you know, kind of like the Donovan Mitchell thing when we crushed them. After we crushed the Pacers, we'll be done with, you know, the whole Obi Toppin experiment, because at the end of the day, even though I was never really very highly of him, you know, I did see the energy that the Knicks fans did fall in love with. But kind of like what Spike said, once you saw him do that, you know, windmill dunk, and you saw him get, you know, all the adulations just from the highlights, you could tell he just wanted to be a highlight guy because he kept leaking out. He never wanted to be the offense. And now that my ultimate synopsis is if Obi Toppin was anywhere near what Precious Achiuwa was, we could have actually seen a better, you know, the other younger Knicks actually kind of, you know, develop a little more. But that's neither here nor there. But like another previous caller said, the players, they're definitely going to be focused in. This is a good group, and when you have a championship quality, you know, pedigree like the Villanova guys have brought over, You know, they're going to be focused. And I think that this is the right group to really keep focused and really keep going in. And this is something that has been started over time. I don't like to give, you know, all the credit to Tibbs or all the credit, because at the end of the day, everyone, you know, one thing we all know within a team process, everyone has a hand in what they did. And, you know, that goes from, you know, even from Scott Perry's time. So we'll see how this works out, Larry and Gordon. Have a great one.
You know, Jose, and thanks for the phone call. It's true, because even though, and I'm not here to say, Gordon David, that Steve Mills was the greatest general manager in Knick history.
That just but, as well. Okay.
But mm-hmm. when he decided and said, we're not trading our number one picks anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Gordon, that was a game changer for this franchise, because they would give number one picks away like he was selling, like it was, you know.
Well, I really feel like that kind of started with Phil Jackson. And speaking about people who are not going to be on the list of best general managers in this history. They did. Absolutely. They were treating them like they were going to expire at midnight. They were just throwing into deals all the time. I do think, though, I know this is kind of midway through the show, I feel we have to institute a non-Pacers talking points for the rest.
Okay.
There's no more talking about that. Let's get that out of the way. So, Joe, Chantel, anybody brings up the Pacers from now on, they're gone. This is a no Pacers zone. Until the opening round is done, we're not talking about the Indiana Pacers. Clear? I think that's fair, right?
Wow. Gordon has spoken. Yep, lock it in. That's it. Done. No more Pacers.
No more Pacers. We can't be focusing on the future. The future is promised to no one, Larry.
That's right. You are correct. Absolutely. Gordon Damer, I saw something that the Knicks did last night defensively that made me think of a Knick who's not here. I know that's kind of confusing, but I'll explain it when we return on 98.7 ESPN. When I saw how the Knicks were defending Joel Embiid, you notice what they did. It was very smooth. Normally what they've done is they try to double team him, but they do it early so he's able, because they do it so early, he's able to see where the other player is.
Mm-hmm.
So the free man will make a cut. But what they started to do later in that fourth quarter was they delayed when they sent the double team. And then when the delay came with the double team, it was so late in the shot clock, he decided that he wasn't going to pass, and so he decided to put the ball on the floor. Gorman, he put the ball on the floor. Some of those turnovers reminded me of a young man who's injured.
Do not bring his name into this.
I didn't.
You're alluding to him, though.
I'm just saying. I saw the ball get turned over on the dribble.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it get turned over a lot. And
I don't know what the overall numbers are, but Embiid, even in the game that he was great, he's not been great in the fourth quarter.
No, he has not. He has not. Not throughout the series.
No.
He is not.
Now, he was awesome in game three, and you'll take whatever, I don't know what he did in that game in terms of the fourth quarter, but you'll take whatever that is when you score 50, but.
Oh, yeah.
They're gonna need the Embiid that scored, maybe not 50, but a whole lot more than that game than this last one.
Yeah, they are. And they're going to, you know, I'm talking about who's going to be the Knicks' other scorer. Who's going to be their other scorer? That's the other thing, too. Who's going to be the other scorer? But who's going to join him and Maxey?
Yeah, I guess it would be Oubre.
Man, wasn't Oubre at the Garden the first two games?
No,
first
it was
games.
Not. It was not.
You know. But you know, I'm going to tell you who's going to have an annoying game tomorrow night, Gordon Damon. Mm. Kyle Lowry. I'm just telling you right now.
That's every game with him. It's always
right
an annoying
now,
game.
He's gonna have it's do or die.
Yeah.
He's gonna have one of those annoying games that's just gonna be like it's gonna be. I
Frank Isola had a great tweet during game four that Kyle Lowry, I think he said he has a PhD in flopping.
Yeah. He's one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best. And has a very believable face. What?
Oh, it's always a shock. What? What are you talking about? What?
No. And I love it. This is the thing. If I was a coach, I would have to say, and because you saw a lot of LeBron James went ballistic, don't look at me spinning your finger around. I'm not reviewing anything until the fourth quarter.
It doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense. And if you don't end up using it, so be it. But yes, right. Absolutely. You should hold on to that until you absolutely have to use it. And I would even say, not even in the fourth quarter, it has to be 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Six minutes to go. Yeah.
Or less. Don't even look at me. I'm not doing it.
Right.
I'm not doing it. It's not. I get every possession is big in the postseason. I get it. I understand it. I do.
But
Gordon, no, please.
I want that in my pocket in case I need it later on.
Absolutely.
You got to pick your spots.
That's all right. And the first period is not the time to pick your
no,
spot.
No, of course not.
Lee's in Manhattan. What's up, Lee?
Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening?
We're good, Lee.
Listen, I know I have to choose my words carefully because we can't discuss certain things for the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. So let me just say that, and Larry, because I said this to you yesterday, and I'll mm-hmm. say it again, along, you know, so that Gordon, in case he didn't hear it, as you stated initially, okay, if you are a 1 seed, if you are a 2 seed, if you are a 3 seed. You are expected to advance to the second round. Okay? I would like to see us take care of business tomorrow and get an opportunity to heal a little bit and hopefully come the second round that we have, you know, Bogey back. Hopefully we'll have Robinson back. But it's more or less going to be all hands on deck, because now Tibbs has to go extend his bench, obviously, a little bit further, meaning you're going to see Jericho Sims tomorrow, obviously Precious Achiuwa. You might even see Burks in there for a few minutes tomorrow just to soak up some minutes, okay, because we don't have a choice. But I will say this. I think the Knicks may have found Embiid's Achilles heel, and he might decide to play a little bit of chess tomorrow and throw Ananobi on him for, you know, a lot of minutes during the game, like they throw Platoon at, you know, the one that's assigned to Brunson all the time. What are your thoughts on that, gentlemen?
Well, I'll say this, Lee, and thanks for the phone call. Lee, I admire your enthusiasm. And I admire your optimism. I can't think of any scenario that Alec Burks gets off the bench tomorrow night to come into the game.
Well, I mean, they might just need bodies, though.
I don't see him coming in. I really don't.
He's going to go with seven guys? Bogey's out. Mitchell's out.
You see what he did last night? See what he did on Sunday? Yeah, like yesterday. I don't see him. I don't see it.
So you think you're going to go with seven?
I think he'll go with seven. I mean, Hart plays 48 minutes anyway. Like, that's a regular.
I mean, they went with eight on Sunday, but, I mean, Bogey was in there for what?
2 seconds.
50 seconds? Like, it was 1 minute? Or
he wasn't even a minute.
No.
You know? I just don't see Burks coming in, Gordon. I just don't.
Could you see Sims maybe getting a little run?
I do not. I don't. I really don't. I don't. I think he's going to go with what he went with now. Listen, I have no clue. But I would be surprised.
You don't think we're going to see a Shake Milton sighting?
I think you have a better chance of buying TikTok.
Wow, that would solve so many problems.
It would, if you could afford it.
Yeah, I don't think I can.
Than to see Shake Milton.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see Shake.
Unless they're up by 35.
Maybe.
And even then, he might play everybody until the end.
Yeah. So you think they're going with seven?
I think he's going to go with the same folks.
I would guess that you're probably right. I would not be shocked to see either Sims or Burks, just for like a little minute or two. Mm-hmm. Maybe to give somebody a little bit of a breather.
Right.
Not significant minutes. I don't think they're going to play. This is not last year when people were begging for Fournier.
Right. No, it's not like that. No, that would have been a shock.
That would have been, yeah. I do think you have a better chance of seeing Fournier tomorrow than Shake Milton.
Yeah, and even then.
It's about even. Then. Yeah, it's about even there.
Yeah, over under?
Yeah, it's about even.
Yeah. Promo code Gordon. Who do you have a better chance of seeing? Burks or Sims?
I think Sims.
I agree.
Because he could give you five. You know, if Hartenstein starts running into trouble early.
Mm-hmm.
At least he could give you a body in there that can give you some more fouls. I don't think you really want to be fouling Embiid.
No, because he hits his free throws. That's the other
Absolutely.
Thing.
That's where he's most deadly.
Yeah, that's it. And he keeps doing that up and under. Why are the Nick big man keep falling for that up and under thing?
And Hartenstein knows he fell for it again. Every time you see him slapping his hands, like, gosh, I fell for the banana in the tailpipe again.
It's very simple. Just put your hands up. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
If he's going to hit the shot, he's going to hit the shot.
Mm-hmm.
We need you on the floor because what he's able to do, Gordon, is he's able to help you offensively as well. Hartenstein, he's got that nice little flip in the middle of the lane where they hit him.
Absolutely.
He's got that down. It's a science now, you know, so you need him. I'm very curious to see, and I'm sure Bogdanovich will be questionable. That'll be, you know, I'll tune into Barton Hahn tomorrow at noon. Where Alan always gives you the lineup, the preview, and he'll say, you know, questionable one. And Bogdanovich will be questionable tomorrow, I expect. But maybe I'm wrong.
I thought I had seen that he was already ruled out.
Okay,
I'm
possible.
Not sure.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
You might be right, which is crazy. I mean, the amount of injuries of players in this postseason, Gordon.
I know.
I mean, can you imagine Milwaukee? All right, no Lillard, no Giannis, and Portis gets thrown out for fighting. Like, what are you thinking?
I don't know. And think about, like, we talk about in the offseason, that was the thing, right? They got Dame Lillard. They're going to team him with Giannis. Mm-hmm. Look out. Yeah, look out. Look out below because they might very well be out here very quickly.
Going to have a question for you when we come back. I want you to think about it. And we get to more phone calls as well at 1-800-919-3776. With what we saw in Phoenix and what's going on in Milwaukee, can we now stop talking big three in the NBA? We'll discuss it next on 98.7 ESPN.